Hey everyone, in this chapter I sit down with Pierre, which is a very interesting take on what a racer in the Formula One goes through, but more so on the human element and the mindset and the mentality. I hope you see a different side to him and I hope you enjoy it. And if you'd like to see the video version, you could find it on my YouTube channel. Enjoy. Hey Pierre.
Hey, you good?
I'm good. And I'll start with how are you really doing?
I must say I'm feeling amazing.
That's good.
Feeling like I have good energy. I'm positive. I'm happy in my life, and just want to go racing.
Why would you feel especially now that you are? Because you said a lot of good words.
Yeah.
Why at this moment you feel all of these words together?
Well, I think I'm kind of positive person in general, optimistic, and I had some time for myself over the winter to like prepare myself physically, mentally. I'm in a pretty happy place in my personal life right now, and also professionally I'm enjoying what I'm doing. So it's just a pretty good time of my life.
So who are you? I think that's important, so we don't skip it, so people understand.
Yeah, so I'm Pierre Gasly, and I'm 24 years old, coming from France, and I'm Formula One driver for Scuderia AlphaTauri. Starting hopefully soon my third season in Formula One, and that's about it. I drive fast cars as fast as I can.
Pierre, you apparently, you have to correct any information that I have wrong.
Yeah.
So apparently you left
your house. I heard you always write, so be careful to what you say.
Who, me?
Yeah.
No. You left your home at 13?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Can you explain why and how was that? But we'll start with why would you leave at 13?
So, yeah, I started motorsport when I was karting when I was 6 years old. And, of course, as a kid, I dreamed about Formula One, but it's still like super far, you know, at that age. Is just watching at that time Michael Schumacher winning Formula One races every weekend and spreading champagne. And I had to push my parents to get me into karting because I have four brothers, three raced, and they knew it cost a lot of money. So they were like, play football, it's better, you know. And I played football and I loved it, but I really wanted to compete in karting. And at 9 years old, I told them, okay, what do I need to do to be Formula One driver? And they were like, oh, this kid, like, why is he so much into motorsport? And they offered me my first kart when I was 8. I started competition at 9. And from that moment, I thought, okay, if I want to put the best chances on my side, I need to commit 100% and do all the sacrifices that are needed. And when I was 13, the federation came to see me. I was part of the French team. And they said, okay, we are opening this school, which is 3 hours away from my home, only for drivers to basically give them the environment they need to maybe become a professional driver. So do you want to go? And my parents told me, okay, it's your decision. We want you to stay home because you're 13 and I'm the last kid. And I thought, okay, either I commit 100% to this sport and try all my chances to get to Formula One, or either there is no point to do it. And I didn't think twice. I just said, okay, I go there. And I put all the chances on my side.
It's interesting that from a very young age you had that, because most kids would be scared, I would say. I don't know if you were scared, but most kids, I think the fear will be bigger than the desire.
Yeah.
Because they want to be comfortable. The house is a comfortable place, safe environment.
Exactly. You have your family, you know, you have your own room, you have all your friends. At that time I was in college and I had all my friends there. But I've always been obsessed with my targets. I'm a super competitive guy, and when I do something, I need to win. And I need to achieve my goal. And really early, my goal was always to be world champion in Formula One. And that's why when I was 13, I said, okay, now I have an opportunity. Either I'm fully committed to this target, and that's what I want. Or either I don't do it because I'm like this. I either don't do things at all, or if I do them, I just
do it right.
Yeah, do like everything I can to.
But
to
it's
make
interesting
it
that from a young age you had very clear idea, because most people are lost till the 30, 40. They don't exactly know what to
do. I feel quite lucky in this, because really early in my life I understood where I want to be. And of course, there are many things you want, and a lot of people want a lot of things, but sometimes they don't really commit enough to make things happen. And that's why I always tell, like when I meet young guys, like just follow your dreams, just try everything. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't, but at least if you really want it, just try as hard as you can. Because if you just say, I want this, and okay, I'll do this one day, and then the other day I forget it, and I'll try again, then another one will do more things to get there. So
correct.
That's why I always thought, okay, if you do something, if it's clear in your mind what you want, whether it's in sport or even in business or in many different situations, after it's just about commitment and dedication in what you do. And of course, some days I was 13, I went in this school that was not great, because it was like old castle with cold shower, and I have like great memories from these days, but it was quite like a bit old school. Yeah. And but in the end, I will do it every single time if I had to do it again, because I think it's just kind of mentality that I had straight away from the beginning, that okay, I go flat out and I try to achieve my goal.
But how was your childhood overall? When I ask this question, what feeling or words come to you?
I loved every single moment, and I still feel like even I'm 24 now, it's still like childhood time for me. So, I mean, I think it was kind of special, of course, when you're like racing driver, and especially when it gets really professional, there is a certain lifestyle you need to have, you know, especially if you want to be competitive. So compared to my friends, I always saw my friends having some kind of behaviors of or lifestyle that I could not have at the time, because if you're an athlete, you can't go partying, you know, every single weekend. You can't drink, you can't eat fast food every month or every week or whatever. So you need to be quite strict, but at the same time, all the stuff that I've seen in my life, already like really young, at 13 years old, I will travel the world to race, see different countries, see different culture, meet people from all over the world. And then it just kind of gives you also, it shows you different things from the world compared to my friend that stayed home.
In one place.
Yeah, in one place. And maybe they think like that's the world, you know, everything is like this, but actually you see a lot of places with a lot less money, or people in a lot more difficulties, or places with a lot more money, and you see that actually it's possible to get this, and you see a lot of different things, and this is the sport that showed me all the things, and also kind of taught me a certain mindset to have in my life and certain lifestyle that probably I would have not understood if I wasn't in the sport. So.
Do you think it this career choice that started before 13 and then at 13, I would say, is a milestone? Do you think you feel like you missed out? Like, oh, I wish I was just a kid playing video games and partying every week, or?
No, because what I like, racing for me gives me so much more pleasure and joy than any other things. So I will not change for anything, because I don't feel I've missed out. I've still manage to enjoy, but you just need to understand when is the right time. So of course our season starts from February till December, and during that period you need to be like super super strict. Of course during your off time you can enjoy a bit more. It's not like you can go crazy, but you can still enjoy. So I don't feel I've missed that much. I've still enjoyed my childhood, maybe not as much as others, but then what is enjoying? You know, my enjoyable part for me is when I go on the track and I get to compete against the best drivers and travel the world and go race in, like, I don't know, Italy, or in, come here in Dubai, and then Australia and all these things. And that's when I really enjoy my life. Yeah.
I'm going to talk about F1, but not in a typical way. I don't want to talk about the technical and your titles or none of that, right? I want to talk more about what I personally find extremely interesting is the psyche, the psychology and the mindset. I think that's very important. So the first point on that is I want to know, why do you think you have this mindset that your brothers didn't become professional, if I'm assuming correct, right?
Yeah.
You're the one
who tried.
So you became professional. Now, why did Pierre become professional? And what created this killer instinct, you want to call it, or winning mentality? Where did it come from?
I think that it's difficult because for me, I just like behave naturally. But I will say maybe you have like I'm super competitive in everything I do. So if right now, I don't know, we go play ping pong, I want to beat you like 100%. I'll play my life just to beat you or whoever is in this room. And it was like this from like really young age. I will play with my brother because I'm the youngest one. They are like 10, 15 years older than me. And whatever I will do with them, I will need to beat them. It started with Mario Kart. So I will play like with them and just I just need to... I'm driven with the victory feeling and the competition.
The problem with Mario Kart is in F1, you don't have bananas.
No, exactly. But I started to train really young with that, with Mario Kart.
And do you think because you are the younger brother, you always felt you need to prove yourself to your elder brothers?
I never felt like I needed to prove something. I just wanted to beat them in everything we will do.
But that's
together.
Proving, right? If you beat them, like the younger brother beat me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but it's not to prove. It's just for my own satisfaction. Mm. So even with my friends, now that they'll get pissed, like if we play something together, because I get so competitive that they say, whatever we do with Pierre, he needs to find a way like to win or to fight us to win. So I think that's something that I had like since really young age. And really like push me to always do better and saying, okay, now I have this level, it's a good level, but how can I get better? Where can I improve myself? Or how can I work to get stronger and in these areas, in these areas? And still now I'm always thinking, okay, I've achieved this, but I want to achieve way more. So what do I need to do to improve myself? And
your current team is?
AlphaTauri.
Okay. And from my very basic knowledge of Netflix and F1, I've been following generally your story and many other people's stories, right? And even when I read articles, it would say Pierre was demoted from Red Bull Racing to your current team, or he failed in Red Bull and now he's in this other team. What do you think about all of these statements? Do you see it that way?
Well, I think people speak a lot without knowing everything. Hmm. You know, it's part of the sport, I think. Everybody is free to talk with the informations you get in the media. But I think nowadays you have so many informations, but it's difficult to deal with them. I've been in the situation, so I've seen everything from inside. And there are so many things that hasn't been said and that I think should stay private between the team and myself. But of course, I know exactly what happened every single weekend. I know what was right. I know what was wrong. But I don't think it should be in the media because the problem is not there and it's not going to be fixed there. So, of course, I've seen like a lot of bullshit going in the media and a lot of people talking nonsense because they will know like 5% about of the situation I was in. But what can I do about it? Like nothing. And this is not going to change my approach. It's not going to change my mentality. And I've always managed to use like negativity or negative people to turn that energy into something positive and just prove them wrong in the end. So, of course, there were a lot of people like supporting me and understanding that there was something wrong because in my career, I've been fast every single year, only these 6 months. Last year, where it wasn't, and I know the reasons. I'm not gonna come out with the reasons, and I think it should stay confidential. I'm Red Bull driver, and I'm still like I'm grateful for everything they've done in my career. But we both know the reasons why it didn't work, and that's why I was happy to perform the second part of the season and get the podium in Brazil to show also that well things You know, you don't forget how to drive or don't learn how to drive in 3 weeks. I haven't changed my approach. I've kept pushing and things worked out the way it should have worked out earlier.
I respect that you said there are certain things that should be between you and the team. I believe we live in a world that unfortunately too much is exposed. It's kind of like a house, your family. Yeah. If you have a family problem, you don't go tell all the neighbors, by the way, today we had a big, big problem. You know, you try to solve it in your house.
I mean, it's not going to change anything, and it will not be professional from myself to do it. And I know it. After, of course, when I see things, when people don't know what they do, they imagine. They think, okay, this happened. But based on what?
Assuming,
Based on nothing. This guy said that, and I've seen that. Yeah, but you don't know anything about the situation. But it's part also of media, you know. They need to create stories. They need to feed people with stories. And I've seen a lot of, like, fake news and things that were not really fair. But then, you know, like, since I'm young, how many people I heard telling me there are 20 drivers in Formula One in the whole world.
And exactly.
You think you're going to make it there? I told them, yes, I'm going to make it there. I'm going to show you that I'm going to make it there. Yeah, no chance. And then now these people, I'm actually really happy to meet them in the street and say, so what's up now? Like, yeah. You know, it's people struggle to accept other people's success. Either they're jealous or they struggle to accept that, you know, that's a mentality some have. But after, you just need to push yourself and, you know, if I see someone having success in all the sports or even in my sport, I have many friends, I've grew up with Charles, and when I see him, what he's achieving now, I'm super happy for him because I know the sacrifices he's done to make it there. Mm. But I think generally it's important to push people towards their goal, whatever it is. Even it's really hard, even you think it's... I don't think there's anything impossible as long as you push yourself to the maximum to make it. Mm-hmm. I think that's the mentality.
I'll tell you why I also asked the first question. Not only to deny how people will see your situation or your story. What I found more interesting is when you change teams, you quickly bounce back. Although we know in your sport or in football that in professional sports, the confidence and mentality is what makes the difference.
Yeah.
Because everybody's skilled. If we go step outside, there's so many good footballers around, right? You go to Brazil.
In F1, everybody's skilled. All of them are good drivers. Talented. Yeah.
But what makes the difference is confidence, let's say, or the mentality. You quickly bounce back. So my question is, some people take a year maybe to build back. Even in front of the media, they look fine. When they're alone in the car, I'm pretty sure they have that 1% of insecurity that can make them lose, right? So how, in your mind, how did you quickly bounce back to get back to a winning mentality? Because it wasn't easy. Because, okay, watching it on Netflix, I see it more dramatically, but everything is against you. You're competing. Your teammate is doing much better. And you're like, "How? Where is my mojo? Where is my magic?"
Thing is, I told you I knew the reasons. I know every single weekend the reasons why we were not competitive or the reasons why we were competitive. So that's why when I bounced back, I knew, okay, this didn't work there because of this, and actually the situation I'm in now, I'm not going to face the similar issues, let's say, or similar problems. And I knew I would be competitive again. I was competitive the first year with Toro Rosso. That's why I got promoted to Red Bull. And then going back there, I knew I will be in a similar situation. So I was quite confident, okay, if I just focus on myself and just cut all the trash talk and all the negativity around me, just focus on myself, trying to extract the maximum from me, it will be fine. And of course, I didn't expect to be on the podium with Toro Rosso, because, you know, at that time they had two podiums in 15 years, kind of midfield team. So it doesn't happen really often. And then to get it in Brazil and be like the youngest French driver on the podium was something quite special.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. More so, the question for me is the something that can probably apply to different sports, even to business, right? Now, you have a girlfriend, I get it,
yeah.
right? So you have a serious relationship.
Yeah.
My question is, if you are disciplined in your professional side, so training, eating well, sleeping well, right? Doing that. But then you have the personal side, which is love or family, things that are on the emotional or softer
yeah.
side. Do you believe that in professional world, whether it's at work as a corporate person or as a footballer or as a racer, do you think it's really important to have, let's call it, love stability? Does it help the professional side?
I think this really depends on the person. Some people will tell you, yes, I need it. Some others will say, no, I don't need it. Some will say it's a distraction. Or
but some people
say
looking for girls every week and partying is a distraction.
Yeah, exactly. You need to. I think what's important is just understand what's good for yourself. And I know what's good for me. I'm not going to tell my friend you should do like me. Because it is someone different. And same, what he's doing maybe works for him but doesn't work for me. And maybe it does. So I think it's important to try and just based on your feelings, okay, now I know that I'm feeling in a happy place in my life and that's the balance I need. I need to have also my personal life next to my kind of F1 life and sometimes disconnect from it because it's really intense. And some people will tell you, no, I don't need girl. I want to party and have many girls, you know. Yeah. Like, why not? Do whatever you like. I don't think there's one special
recipe. So for you,
this
is healthy, you would say, to have a stable love relationship, whether it's with your family or a girlfriend, plus your training?
I think it's important as long as the family and the girlfriend really commit 100% to your story, which is difficult, you know. When I started with my girlfriend, I explained, okay, that's the life I have. I travel 260 days a year, I take over 100 flights a year. I'm not gonna be the guy that's gonna be next to you like every single morning.
Yeah.
And you know, even if I would like to do it, that's not possible. So
yeah.
It's kind of difficult to find someone that accept that routine. And even, you know, when you were gonna wake up next to me, I'll be going running. And then for lunch, we're gonna have like this type of food. And I'm not gonna bring you to like this kind of restaurants every single night. So it's kind of strict, but I think, you know, like love is stronger than that. If you really want to be with someone, then you should be willing to take some sacrifices. But I must say, as a Formula One driver, that's for the girlfriends or the wives, it's very, very difficult job to accept and follow that kind of lifestyle.
I can imagine. I think a lot of women will run after you for the idea.
That is great.
Good-looking guy, but if they try it,
it's not that
great. Exactly.
I told, like, I don't know how many times my girlfriend is. I don't know how you do it. Because I will not be able to do it. I will not be able to wait, or I will not be able to, like, just. It's tough, but that's why I have a lot of respect for her.
They say that if you want to have a really good partner, they need to be your number one fan. Like, they should really love what you do. Like,
yeah,
they really see and they'll watch you, they'll follow your news, and they want you to do well, you know?
To do well. Yeah, I think that's the case on my side. And
Good.
You don't find many girls that like Formula One, actually. You know, it's
with Netflix now, maybe
more and more, but it's not so many of them are into it.
Correct. Or get it, maybe.
Yeah. Mm. Exactly, but it's believe me, being a Formula One driver girlfriend is not a easy job. Yeah,
man. Even me as a guy, I didn't know much about Formula One until it became, and I think that's why shows like this or documentaries or movies, they give you so much insight. And you said something so interesting before the interview. You said, Anas, we sit in cars with helmets. People don't connect to the human side of us.
Yeah.
So these shows show. The human.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a funny guy, there's a serious guy. you know, different characters that they're exactly. Like, okay, I like this one.
But what's difficult as well is we get TV time straight after we get out of the car. So you have a lot of emotions. You know, you drive, maybe you have a good race, maybe you have a bad race, maybe someone crashed into you. You know, when I get out of the car 30 seconds after I'm in front of a mic, sometimes I don't have my straight ideas. You know, if someone just crashed into me, I'm going to be pissed off and maybe the words that come out.
But that's what they want.
Yeah,
they
that's want what you they fresh. Want. But the guy behind his TV and seeing, oh, yeah, but why is he shouting? It doesn't really show the your true personality and true character. And I think it's something Netflix managed to bring a bit more in their show, which is better because people see, okay, number 10 is a nice helmet, but then doesn't really know who is behind or who is driving that car. So I think it's pretty good from them.
Pierre, what makes you happy?
What makes me happy? When I win, that's what makes me happy. But yeah, of course, like competition, driving F1 cars, which are the fastest car in the world, and being on like the pinnacle of motorsport. You know, when I do something, I was little actually. So when I started karting, I played football at the same time. So I started football at 5. Until 11, then I started karting at 6. So I was doing the two at the same time. And already when I was young, I was playing in the first team in football. But I was missing some training because I was going karting and the manager didn't like it. So one day I arrived on Sunday and the guy said, okay, Pierre, you are going to the karting practice too much. Not enough with us. So this Sunday you play with the B team. Mm. And I told him, I said, okay, I'm leaving. I'm not doing this to play in the B team. It's either I do it with the best one because I want to fight with the best. And for me, it was a clear message. Okay, now it's time to decide whether I go that direction or that direction. Mm. And I think that's what makes me happy. When I feel, okay, I'm at the top of the league fighting against the best. And now it's up to me to deliver the best of myself to beat these guys.
Which position did you play?
I was on the right, midfield right. So I was running a lot. Yeah, wingman.
Yeah,
so.
I used to play, but I had a lot of surgeries.
So. Yeah, but I still play. I mean, I love football. Try to.
It's tricky though, man. Like it's a very risky. Like I stopped playing even for fun.
Yeah.
Because you get injured, you can't do anything in your life. It's tough on the body.
The good thing with me is when I play with my friends, they know I can't get injured. So when I have the ball, they're just like, they give me space. So like this, I can just go through and then.
What are you afraid of?
What I'm afraid of? I don't like snakes. Mm. I don't
really either, I'm with you in that. and generally in life, what would fear be to you?
You know, I don't know why, as a kid, I was always afraid to die before to make it to Formula One. Because that was, like, you know, one of my targets is to be in F1 and then to be world champion in F1. And I was always, I don't know, flying, and I wasn't so safe. Like, I didn't feel so safe in planes. Mm. I would be always like, if I crash now, I didn't make it to F1. And that's not possible. And then now I still feel this with, like, a world championship. I just want to be, like, world champion, and I just want to have my time and the opportunity to do it. But then otherwise, no, I'm not really afraid. I was a bit afraid of height, but then I did skydiving, and after that I was like, okay, that's fine. But yeah, snakes are not really my thing.
Okay, when was the last time you did something for the first time?
Today.
Wow, nice. What did you do?
I did this like surfboards with the engine foiled.
Is it with the thing, the remote?
Exactly.
It's very cool, huh?
I almost killed myself, but
the core, were you okay with the core balance?
That's the thing. That's the tricky part. I thought, okay, 10 minutes and I'll understand how it works. And
no, it's not
honestly,
easy.
Yeah, it's not
like
easy.
New muscles that you didn't activate before, you know?
Also balance, but balance in a way that is different than what I've tried before. So yeah, I felt on my rib and I could not breathe anymore. I was like in the water and it was a bit scary.
Yeah.
But yeah, in the end was first time I tried something, and I like to discover as someone that want to explore. I like to travel to new places. I like to, I don't know, just discover new things, because sometimes you get surprised and with a lot of these things. So I always try to learn a bit new things.
Best moment so far in your life?
Probably Brazil, when I finished second. But it was my first podium in F1, and I felt like for me it was also a kind of, you know, like show my personality and coming back and getting that podium with a Toro Rosso car, which I think no one expected. I think this like gave me joy. I felt like, yeah, now I'm there. I've done something people didn't expect me to do, and that's always nice. And of course, first podium in F1 is also something I
was just gonna say that's the next stop.
Yeah, dreamt about. So it was nice to make it happen. Now I need to win.
Yes. Worst moment in your life so far?
Worst moment? Probably, yeah, when I last year I had my best moment and my worst moment in my life. So I lost one of my best friends in Spa. So during, actually straight after I got changed to Red Bull to Toro Rosso. So it was my first race with the team, and I have one of my best friends that had a crash during the race on Saturday, and
I saw that,
passed away on the track. And it was, so basically that first year, when come back to when I was 13 years old, when the federation came to us and told all French drivers, okay, we have this school that you guys can go, and we'll take care of you and put everything in place for you to become stronger as a driver. We were only three guys to go there, and there was my friend Antoine, who passed away last year, and another guy, Benjamin, that came. But I've always seen in him like, okay, I'm committing myself 100% to this life and to this goal to make it to Formula One. But I know he is committing as well. He is doing the same sacrifices. So I always knew like how much Antoine wanted to be in Formula One due to the sacrifices he did. And I grew up with him since I was 13. So we went to every single day we were in class together. We will train together. We will sleep in the same room at school together until I was 18. So it was like a big part of my childhood. And just to see him like on TV crashing and seeing him passed away like that way, I never imagined, and it was quite painful.
Yeah, that's very difficult, and I think no matter how many people can tell you the sport that you're in is risky and that there is that chance, it's still a shock.
You know, as a racer, when you go, I think the fastest speed I've been at is 375. You know that if something happens at that speed, you're dead. You know, like there is nothing you can do. Your body cannot absorb all these energies when you crash. So, but it was just tough because 2017. So yeah, 2 years before that, I have lost also my best friend from road car crash accident, but from my hometown. So. Already this for me was like a massive shock and something quite difficult, and this was 2017. We lost Jules Bianchi, the French driver in Formula One, also a couple years before, and it's always a shock, you know, when you are young, and Jules was kind of one of my example I followed since really young, that you see people achieving things and just going away like this without any... You're not prepared, you know. It's not like you're losing your granddad or your grandmother, where you kind of can't get ready, or you know that it's coming towards the end of their life, and you can mentally get ready for it. Even if it's still difficult, you can anticipate slightly. There is just a shock, like from one day to another, you wake up and then this happens, and you're like, fuck. You realize how fast your life can go. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think also my mentality changed a bit. And from thing since Jules passed away, I just thought, okay, you know, it's important. I enjoy every single moment in life because you never know what can happen, you know. So, yeah, just it's never easy times, yeah, when this happens.
I'm sure. Any regrets?
I've told myself, like, I want to commit 100% because I don't want to have any regrets in my career. So I will say professionally, I don't think so, because I've always pushed 100% or even more. So I always told myself, I don't want to feel like at some point in my career, I don't want to think, oh, I could have done this more. Oh, I could have done that, but I didn't. And then it could have changed the outcome. So that's also what pushes me every day to push harder and harder, and push me forward.
Personally,
yeah, for sure, I've done many mistakes. That's for sure. But regrets, I don't. You also learn from your mistakes, so there are things.
I was gonna tell you that when you were talking about when I told you if somebody calls you a failure because you were demoted.
Yeah.
I would have told you, in my own understanding, I don't consider anyone a failure unless they give up. So yeah. because you only win or you learn.
Yeah, that's the
that's one. It.
Same mojo we have we have actually this quote in my driver room.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, nice. In my driver room we have like a big board with this quote: either you win or you learn. And I fully agree with you, because even from my younger age, you get stronger from all these mistakes you do. And of course, there are times where you do mistakes which have bigger consequences than other times, you know. Mm. So in our case, for example, you do, I don't know, a mistake in a test or in a practice, and it's not, the consequence is pretty small. If you do it in qualifying or in a race, the consequence will be a lot bigger. But these things happen. I think you need to go through failures. You need to go through mistakes. Because these things will make you stronger and will make you learn faster.
Correct.
And I do believe, like, if you're just like on top the whole time and you never struggle, you never have any challenges, at some point you're not going to reach the maximum potential of yourself. So
correct.
And a lot of people are scared of that, scared of failure. And I see it many times with my friends with exams and, you know, like, also like stressing out. And I think that's something in sport which is great. It teaches you how to deal with this. Because stress is something you create on your own, and it's just a matter of dealing with it and how your mindset is. I think is sport in general is brings you a lot of things.
I read something recently that stress is a problem that's not being addressed or solved.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
So if you address it or solve it, it's not stressful anymore. My last question. Pierre, in one word.
Competitive.
Yeah, definitely. After hearing him today, thank you.
Yeah, that's fine.
Thank you.
Thanks.